Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz. Tonight we speak to the National Gambling Board. It is an institution that is responsible for the oversight of the regulation of the gambling industry throughout the country, primarily making sure that, yes, gambling does lead to sustainable businesses, but also ensuring that it is done so responsibly for South African citizens and international ones who participate. To tell us more about their most recent presentation to Parliament on their financial year and financial results is the Acting Chief Executive at the National Gambling Board, Lungile Dukwana, who joins us on the show now. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Lungile. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you very much, Sis, and thanks to Kaya for hosting me.
Thanks for making time. I must tell you that when I read through the recent news headlines, articles, and even some insight into your report, I was blown away by the figures that you had actually quoted. And I think it's important for us to put these themes into perspective. But when we take a look at some of the key highlights regarding the state and rate of gambling in South Africa, it does seem as though we've seen a significant increase in terms of its contribution to the economy and spend from South Africans. But talk us through the 2024-25 financial year and the increases we've seen in gambling.
All right. Thank you very much for that question. Well, we presented our report to the Portfolio Committee, which was 2024-25 annual report. One of the things that we reported there was in relation to the turnover that we experienced in the gambling industry, which was over $1 trillion that we actually experienced for 2024-25. But also of interest is what we refer to as the gambling revenue rate, which was sitting at 75 billion. However, when you look at that 75 billion and then you look at the taxes that are paid, you seem to realize that the taxes that are collected are quite a little bit far lesser than what it is, which is 5.8 billion that we actually experienced at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you analyze then the kind of the gambling that we have had as a country, you will realize that the online gambling and betting would have accounted for about 60% of that GGR or gross gambling revenue, obviously, which has seen the most growth compared to the other modes of gambling. In this instance, for example, if you looked at the gambling growth, you will see that the betting sector has grown exceptionally well, sitting at about 45%. Mm. However, if you look at that growth comparing to 2022-23, it has slowed down from 53.3% that we actually had, which tells us a few issues or dynamics on our side.
Sure.
On the first side, it will tell us that it's high because of its availability online. As we know that these days, everything is available online. So the gambling and the betting has become available much more online, which means that a lot of people have access to it. But they have access to it at their own time and place as they would choose to. So it's unlike when you used to go to the casinos and play at the casinos. Now you can play outside, which we think that it's one of the major contributing factors to that growth that we're basically seeing on our side.
Gotcha.
And then if you look at the other areas, the gambling does generate some employment, over 33,000 in the industry, which we regard as the direct jobs, close to 145,000 if you look at the indirect ones that are gambling induced, so to speak, if you look at some of those particular ones.
100%.
But in totality, you realize that GDP, the contribution of the gambling in the GDP is around 0.83%. Maybe let me leave it there. Sorry about that.
No problem. These details and facts and figures you're sharing is exactly what we want to hear. I want to just to position some of the themes that you've shared with us regarding the surge and increase in online sports betting and the revenues that we've seen that go upwards of 1.5 trillion in terms of the gambling activity we see in South Africa, but the low taxes. Help us contextualize this, because you have raised concerns that from a regulatory point of view, there are some illegal online betting platforms in the country. And I'm assuming this then leads to tax leakages that we see in terms of our government revenues. Where are we there? What's the reality? And why are we falling short in terms of closing some of the loopholes when it comes to regulation?
Well, the issues of regulation, you'll remember that the act that is governing us now is the NGA Act of 2004. Now, when you look at 2004 and you look at now, you realize that it's about more than 20 years. The dynamics in the market have changed, and there has been various developments that have actually happened. Now, obviously, we need to relook at the issues of the regulations and make sure that they are up to the current standard in terms of the dynamics that are in the market. The our mother body, the DTIC, and the policymakers are actually busy with this particular process of reviewing these regulations and to make sure that everything is aligned. There may be a few proposals that may arise from there which are going to give us direction in relation to how we're actually going to attend to this issue. As NGP, we have made our own proposals in terms of how we see the market, for example, in relation to interactive gambling, in relation to the whole issue of the online gambling. So made proposals.
If I can ask you to share details about those particular proposals, because I understand that there's been a lot of opaqueness around not only the distinguishing of the various platforms and the different ways within which they operate, but also the different jurisdictions. Because before, when gambling was restricted to particular spaces like casinos, it was a bit easier to actually limit the number of licenses that could be issued. So talk us through some of the recommendations you've made and help us understand why it is that you support the direction that you'd like to suggest.
Well, some of the recommendations that we've made, for example, relate to Section 11 of the National Gambling Act, which actually talks to the issue of the interactive gambling, which is very much related to the issue of the online gambling. Mm-hmm. So that aspect is very important for us in terms of making sure that we're able to enforce compliance, but also to make sure that those that are licensed properly, there are no leakages that they will have because of the ones that tend to be illegal. Because one of the challenges we're facing now is that there's a lot of illegal online gambling that comes from outside the country. Mm-hmm. But we would not know the nature and the complexity of that in terms of the figures, because by their nature, they are illegal, and therefore you cannot be able to reliably measure them to say this is where we are in relation to this one. And to deal with those ones, NGB is very active now in terms of talking, for example, to the Department of Communication, talking to the internet service providers to make sure that we close down those ones that are actually illegal in the country, because they contaminate the environment of gambling in South Africa, affecting the businesses that are correctly licensed.
How would one identify an illegal online gambling platform?
An illegal online gambling platform is not licensed in South Africa. I think that's the first thing. You'll find that most of them are from external, outside the country. We have identified one specific jurisdiction. It's called Kwarakau. They are most of the illegal sites that you will find are actually coming from there on the other hand. So those ones, they don't have any compliance that they would actually have in terms of, for example, making sure that you're under 18 when you're gambling, and they advertise just anywhere. They would just pop up anywhere, and then you'd be able to do that. So they are not in a platform. They're not bound by anything. They're just doing the things the way they actually want. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the distinguishing factors. And they're not licensed anywhere. They wouldn't tell you that they're licensed where in South Africa.
Got you. So that's also what we need to look out for as South African consumers. Details at the bottom of the website that would then tell us where they are licensed in South Africa. And of course, details on their licensing number. What I'm also intrigued to find out, you know, if there's also been any partnerships or interventions to heighten the level of tax contribution. Given the numbers that you quoted, it does seem as though from the revenue generated from online gambling, only 7% of this revenue then actually gets paid in taxes. Are there loopholes here, and does it again relate to regulation or just the sternness with which these taxes can be collected?
I think what we perhaps would have to wait and see is in terms of the regulations that would actually come out that are revised in relation to online, because we'll recall that this space of the online is a relatively new space as it is without the regulation. So as the regulations come, there may be certain proposals that can give us direction in relation to the tax-related issues and what is it that should happen around this this particular factor. Mm-hmm. But I must also indicate, maybe on the question that you had raised, We are also very much concerned about the advertising, gambling advertising in the country, because that gambling advertising is actually inflicting pain on our own vulnerable groups. That actually they advertise to them and they give promises of winning big and all of those kinds of things, and it creates problems. Then you find that people are spending more money gambling than actually winning. That thing actually takes away the money that should be used for services, for paying school fees and all of those kinds of things, which actually create problems. So we need to zoom into the issue of advertising. There's work we're doing with as NGP with the provincial licensing authority in order to come up with norms and standards that can be able to assist that process and make sure that we deal with that. We'll be making a presentation on that before the end of this month as to how that issue we want it to be dealt with in order to minimize the impact of advertising. You see billboards everywhere, and some of them are advertising where they are not licensed. And those are the issues that we are busy dealing with and consulting with the PLAs to make sure that we're able to provide direction and reduce that impact of the advertising and its impact on society.
Before I let you go, I'm glad that you've touched on the concerns regarding the socioeconomic consequences of gambling. As we know, gambling is legal in South Africa with licensed providers, and you have an interesting balance of managing the regulatory environment to make sure that it can be positive for commercial success, but at the same time managing the dynamics of sustainability of gambling and understanding the socioeconomic consequences. Is there a stance that the National Gambling Board does have on not only excessive advertising, but excessive use and platforms not providing the necessary interventions to limit and mitigate against overuse of their platforms by specific participants? And I ask this because we're well aware that financial distress brought about from gambling does lead to dire consequences from a mental health, well-being, and even loss of life when we look at South African society. What's your stance on that?
That's a very important question, because a part of what we must be doing, we must be making sure that the NGP, the environment of gambling, does not give us high levels of the social impact that we would not want to see. So what we do on our side, one of our functions is actually to do education and advocacy around making the public aware of the dangers of gambling. That is why you get something like they say, winners know when to stop. So one of those things is to actually work with the tertiary institutions. We must work with the other people like the SASSA and all of those ones that are vulnerable in terms of gambling. We also work with what is called the South African Responsible Gambling Foundation, where there are programs that look after the mental health related aspects that may arise as a result of gambling, and we are working with them on that.
Positive direction, but many South Africans are also frustrated that a lot of this is still focused on the user, the person that the commercial companies are trying to attract. Do you have any regulation and legislation that specifically focuses on the platforms themselves and the entities themselves to, I guess, at some point, you know, put in the necessary controls to limit the potential harm and damage it could have on customers?
There are in terms of the licensing, there are certain licensing conditions that they actually need to meet to make sure that they do observe some of those regulations that we actually have in the country. But number two, there is a program that they actually contribute to in order to reduce the social harm that it is inflicting on society. So the operators themselves are bound in terms of how they advertise, their licensing conditions, how they contribute to limit the social harm. But we have to fight the scourge of advertising that we think that is actually doing harm to our society.
Got you. A tough one, managing the commercial objectives, but also societal outcomes that we have there. Butlungile, such a pleasure having you, sir. It's not the last time we are having this conversation, but we appreciate you being so open to share some of these details with us. Thanks again.
No, thanks. Thanks very much, Liz, and thanks to Kaya.
Lungile Dukwana, Acting Chief Executive at the National Gambling Board, joining us there to give us some insight into their most recent financial year report. Essentially highlighting that South Africans have spent 1.5 trillion rand on gambling activities between the 2024-25 financial year. That's a 400 billion rand increase from the year before. Now, as you've heard, there's a commercial aspect, there's the regulatory environment and some key shifts and changes that need to take place. But in the meantime, how do we solve for the challenge that we have as South Africans when we know that our loved ones, our friends and families might even be challenged by the reality of gambling? Well, tonight we're going to deep dive into the consumer aspect, and for that we now have a conversation with Frank Magwegwe, who joins us as a Gibbs faculty member and head of financial wellness at Nedbank, to give us some insight as a financial planner and advisor as to how we need to manage this in terms of our pockets.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.